This Friday, it's time for Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. Let's take time out to think of good friends and great times with a cold glass of beer from our buddies at Burnham Brewery. In the studio will be Steve and his buddies, the owner of Burnham Brewery out of Michigan City. Visit with us as we discuss the business of beer. Join us live, calling for a chance to win a gift card from Burnham Brewery or Chef Nick's Eatery. Call in 769-9577. We always want to hear from you, our friends, in the radio land. Live Friday from our studios in Maryville, it's time for another edition of Let's Eat. Tune in at 3 o'clock on 89.1 FM. Lakeshore Public Radio, WLPR. It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Good afternoon, Northwest Indiana. Thanks for joining us again on Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. We're here live in our studios in Maryville, Indiana, 89.1 FM, WLPR. And we have, you know, just in time for the 4th of July, we have a brewer on, and we have Burnham Brewing from Michigan City. We have Steve visiting us. He's going to tell us all about the brewing business. And we want you, the listeners, to call in 769-9577 for a chance to get a gift card, 769-9577. Steve was kind enough to bring in some gift cards to Burnham Brewery. Now, Burnham Brewery is out in Michigan City. So this is probably the farthest east we've ever went to grab someone out here. So
you made the trek?
I made the trek. So how you been, Sharon?
I've been good. How have you been?
You staying cool in this?
I'm trying. It's a challenge, but this beer is definitely helping.
It is helping. It's nice and cool. I'm going to rub it on my face and put it underneath my armpits, those cans.
Exactly.
Over in the kitchen over there
in
Chef Nick's, I think I got like 15 fans going. I went to the dollar store and bought them out of all the fans to keep the kitchen as cool as possible.
Oh, wow.
It's a hot one,
that
though. But you know what? What is it? It's summertime. Summertime in the region.
Mm-hmm. Excessive heat warning.
Yeah.
In effect till tomorrow at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect to have a cold glass of beer. And we have Steve. Steve, what's your last
right
name?
We are right on track.
Murray.
Murray?
Yeah.
Okay, we got Steve Murray here from Burnham Brewing out of Michigan City. Again, call in. Ask a question. He's got gift cards, $10 gift cards. I have $10 gift cards from Chef Nick's Eatery. 769-9577. Welcome, Steve. I'm glad you made it here. I know it was a long trip, a hot trip.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
I know you got a busy time going on. Right now it's right before the holidays. You're probably just brewing crazy.
I am.
And like I said again, I really, really appreciate you coming out here and spending some time with us.
No problem. Happy to be out here.
Steve, so give us a little bit of your background. You know, high school, you're a young guy. High school you went to, things like that.
Yeah, me and then all the other owners of Burnham Brewing, we are from New Prairie, so we went to high school. Well, all of us went to high school together at New Prairie High School, just outside of La Porte there. After high school, we all kind of went our separate ways. A couple of us were down in Indy in the Bloomington area for college. I stuck around in South Bend area for college. And then after that, we all kind of came back together and got Burnham going.
So give us the names of these other guys. I hope it's not Moe and Curly, but give us the name of the other two.
Yeah, there's seven. Well, there's seven of us.
There's seven?
Oh, yeah. So there's
Wait, this is a Shark Tank episode. I can have seven owners.
It's, like I said, we're all friends from high school,
okay.
So that's probably the only reason it still works.
So what are the guys' names?
So we have my twin brother, Blake Murray. He's kind of our chef right now in the small food menu we do have. We brought the pretzel pie. Then we have Zach Blackwood, Robert Austin, Matt Zakreski, Danny Mosier, and Howie Wiestjohn.
So you don't have to hire any employees?
We have five other employees.
Too. Really?
Yes.
That's really something else. Let's take a quick call. We got a caller to just call in. We have Charles Lucas from Crown Point. What's up?
Question. What's the alcohol content of the average brew you guys brew over there?
I mean, we range all over the board from 3% to 15%. Some of our best-selling beers like seem to go around right around the 5.5 range. It's like what we like to do.
So what's
I like the 15%. How long does it take you guys to ferment that?
Depending on the beer, but an average of 2 weeks. Like some of the, I think 13% is one of our imperial stouts we do, Gluttony, and that took an average of about 15 days to ferment only. So.
Great name, Gluttony.
Yeah, it's brewed with maple syrup, honey, and cocoa nibs.
So oh, really?
A little bit of everything bad for it.
Sounds good.
Sounds real good. Well, we're going to send you out a couple gift cards to Burnham Brewing and Shuffnick Cedary, and we'll be sending out next week. Thanks for calling.
Enjoy your hot day, guys.
Yeah.
Well, we will.
So why don't you give us a little background on why you got into this industry?
Well, we were homebrewing a lot.
Everyone is always homebrewing.
Oh, yeah. And it was, it was just for fun at first. And then we started up homebrewing because we were going to Greenbush right when they opened, Greenbush Brewing up in Sawyer, Michigan, seeing that they were making a lot of different wild beers. And we were doing some kits of some standard stuff. But then we started creating our own recipes pretty quickly. After doing that for a while, we just kind of, everybody was liking what we were making. We were liking what we were making, and we started coming up with names for the beers, came up with a name for the brewery, which we didn't really think would happen for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I started bartending up at Greenbush while my brother started in the kitchen there. And after only being there for a couple months, but we talked to the owners about their journey to where they got and how we wanted to eventually start our own down the road, which we didn't think would happen for a long time. They offered us the equipment they had when they upgraded to a bigger brew system. So
basically, you learned there.
Yep, learned.
You kind of learned the system, and then you bought what they were going to get rid of.
Yeah, they were put up for sale, and they offered it to us first for cheap. So we kind of.
When you say yes, how many originally started?
There was my brother and I purchased the equipment to start off, but there was five of us that were originally just kind of homebrewing together, a little homebrew group.
I tell you what, it's like a fraternity.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of guys don't really get along like that usually, but that's really good. Wait, I hear some horse trotting or something. Somebody's pulling up here. Wait. Oh, you know who it is? It's Steve Howe from Howe Farms. I thought it was Juan Valdez with his sack of coffee beans, but I see Steve. He's got his sack of hops. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well.
I'm glad you came in here. I know it's a hot day, and you came in with your horse. You were trying to save on the emissions and everything like that, getting a little bit of a breeze.
Carbon footprint. Out there. Yeah.
So we invited Steve Howe on. He's from Howe Farms. We had you on last week. Found it to be very interesting. I've been out there before. It's like a little mini farm. It's got cattle and it's got some pigs and got chickens. But the main item that you grow is hops, and you've been growing it for some of the breweries around here. So how you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well. I'm very hot, but it's nice in here, so thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate the break.
So you've been working with Steve from Burnham for about how long now?
This year we did our first beer together, and future's looking brighter every day.
Yeah, we bought some of his Chinook hops at the beginning of this year, and we're still going through what about the last of your stock that you had from last year's.
Now, how'd you guys hook up?
Beer industry.
Yeah, beer industry.
Who searched who out?
Well, we both recently just brewed a collab back. Well, it was what? God, that was March, early March, maybe February.
Yeah.
But we brewed kind of a four-way collab at Forefathers Brewing. Steve and then Casey from Indy Highbines, which is a hop yard down in Indy, collabed on a blend of hops. And then we used that blend in a beer that Forefathers and ourselves collabed on. So we all four of us were all there, Jason from Forefathers, and then Burnham, and then Indy Highbines and Howe Farms were all there brewing together. So that's kind of how we first started talking on.
And how long has Burnham been open for?
We just had our 3-year anniversary in the tap room, but we've actually been
that's
open
really good.
For 4. So we've started out in distro a little backwards than most breweries. Most guys have a tap room right from the gate, which is the smart thing to do because you get by the glass. we didn't have space at first, and we just started brewing kegs for bars and restaurants, and then moved up to canning and bottling. And
that's almost like a backwards. Most guys are got a bar and they brew their beer, but you did it the opposite. You kind of went retail first, didn't you?
So for about a year we were doing that way, and then we opened up the tasting room, and which is still really small. But then we've added 2 patios since, so we can fit close to 50 people in our place. at any time.
Was it hard to grow? How's your growth process been?
It was we grew pretty quick in the beginning. We've slowed down a little bit just to, you know, make sure we're up on quality and keeping everything like straight in the brewery. So
how's business?
It's been really good. This year's been booming so far. It's trying to keep up with having the beer. We're signing on to a lot of big events around. We're doing Lightning Bug Festival out in Valpo this Sunday.
I heard that on the commercials on that.
Michigan City is having its first Pride Festival coming up, and we are the only alcohol vendor there this Saturday.
So congratulations. Nice. Yeah,
so a lot of big events like that, Pierogi Fest we signed on with, so we're doing a lot of things like that, and that's keeping us
really, really
a lot of
busy.
Exposure. Yeah.
Folks, 769-9577, 769-9577. Shoot us a question, and we'll shoot you out some gift cards from Burnham Brewing or Chef Nick's Eatery. So how many different beers do you have on tap?
Any given time, we have 10.
Really?
One nitro tap and 9, just standard CO2. Occasionally, we'll have a cask tapped, but that's every now and then now. They're constantly rotating. If you're in one day, the next day you come in, half the list might be different. So it's trying to keep, you know, variety going, and we brew a lot of weird things.
On Fridays, I always see you guys have like a special... tapping.
Yeah.
Are those all on small batch? Are they large batch? How do you guys normally do that?
It's a mix of both. So most of the time it's a small batch. So it's something that's a new recipe. So we'll put it out there. And
what's a small batch? How many gallons?
15 gallons is small batch. 15 gallons or one barrel is like a 30 gallons batch. So we'll do we'll double batch a small batch and try to put that on for our Friday tappings. So it's every Friday at 4:20 p.m. We tap a new beer and then just try to get. And try to promote the new beers going on tap, because a lot of times the new beers will come on regularly, but we'll pick special recipes that we think are...
So today's Friday.
Yep.
So what's special on tap?
So today we are tapping Wheat Sauce. It's a wheat IPA, kind of the New England style, hazy, juicy. That one about 7%, so that'll be getting tapped here soon. We do hollers and growlers of it, too.
So what's IPA for the people that don't know, like me?
IPA is an India Pale Ale. So the New England style is kind of the new style that's been out there. The traditional IPA was always like a West Coast kind of born and bred style. Then Two Hearted is what was like the famous for our area from Bell's. That's the big IPA that got me into craft beer. But that's like we make a lot of those, but we've also been kind of jumping on this New England style as the new thing. People are wanting the beer with the haze.
So...
Hazy and juicy.
Are you still doing the retail? Are you still sending out kegs and things like that?
Yep. Yeah, we do distribution all over the state of Indiana, all the way down as far south as Bloomington and Columbus and Nashville, Indiana. Wow. And then Fort Wayne is probably about as far east and surrounding areas, Muncie, Indy, Lafayette.
Now, do you do any, I mean, where could we find your beers now if we were to go to any local liquor stores? Are there anything in any local liquor stores?
Here in Merrillville, we have Wise Guys.
Okay.
We're in a couple of the Wise Guys. I know there's a few others. If you check out our website, we usually have a pretty good list, and on Facebook too, of where we're putting different beer out. But we're pretty steady all over. I know there's almost in every city in the region.
You know what? I seen a picture of your place. Give us a feel of what, you know, when you're going to Burnham Brewing, what it looks like when you walk in, what you should expect.
Well, when you pull up, you're not going to think you're at a brewery. It looks
well,
like...
just like when I went to Howe Farms, I didn't think I was at a farm. Right. I thought I was at someone's house until you go behind it, and then it just keeps on going.
That's what you see. You see a house with a one-car garage on the front with Burnham Brewing above the one-car garage. There is a small patio built on the front of the building, and then on the driveway that goes down the side of the building, we have another small patio built on that. So if you walk through the front door into our tap room, it's got 8 seats only on a windowsill bar, and it's a small L shape. You come up to a counter. We don't have an actual bar to sit at an order, but we have a counter where our chef tenders, we call them, because they make the pizzas, they make the pretzels that we give you, and then they serve the beer. They do all of it on one. You walk up, they'll let you do tastes. We do flights. You can fill hollers and growlers there, or you can grab a pint and sit down and eat. You order your food up there, and they'll bring it out to you. But you can pick a seat on any of our patios where we have live music fairly often. Every Tuesday, we're doing a vinyl night, and then followed to follow Vinyl Night, we have an acoustic act playing every Tuesday night too.
So you offer food. Mm-hmm. Now, do you offer anything but beer? Do you have wines or anything like that?
We have a couple kombucha from a local made guy, and then we were doing Fluid coffee. Cold brew coffee from Fluid in Valpo.
Yeah, well, we've had Fluid on the radio station before. Yeah. So you do their coffee?
Yeah, so
that's
the non-alcoholic. But other than that, it's just our beer. Yep.
Okay. So when are you going to start using Howe's hops?
Well, we've been using them in a few different recipes, different small batches, and a few occasional big batches, too. But coming up with this year's harvest, we're planning on doing a harvest ale with his wet hops, and then I'm going to buy whatever Chinook I can after that.
So Steve Howe,
yes,
when are your hops going to be in? When are they going to be blooming?
So they'll start coning. Uh-huh. So they go into little burrs, and then they start coning. They'll start coning, depending on the variety, here this week.
Oh, really?
But then they have to steadily dry out after they cone. They're on the vine. So we start harvesting normally. I think this year will probably start around August 10th, and we'll go probably till mid to late September.
So now I've been out there, and for you people don't know what hops looks like. It's actually like a viney weed almost. It grows, 20 feet high?
Yep.
Sort of like a trellis, on a grape. And you're saying these buds will come out, and you'll harvest them, but they just keep growing. You got them; they'll just keep coming until September.
We cut them up, so every variety is ready at a different time, based on not only variety but maturity of the plant. They're a perennial; they stay in the ground. We cut them down, run them through a harvester, from the harvester to a dryer, from the dryer into pellet mills, and to put it into the pellet form that the brewers use. So it's a long process in there.
Now, your hops are only available a certain time, once a year, basically, right?
We have the ability to provide hops all year.
All year?
Yes. That's why you're drying down. That's why you're pelletizing.
So what you're doing is you're storing.
Correct.
So are you using his hops, Steve, all year?
Yeah, I still have some in the cooler, but I'm starting to run low. Yes, for the most part.
It's coming close.
Yeah.
Folks, 769-9577, 769-9577. Give us a call. Get a gift card. Burnham Brewing has a $10 gift card for the next caller. And Chef Nick's Eatery also has a $10 gift card for Chef Nick's Eatery. So call in 769-9577. So why don't you tell us what you brought in? And what's cool is this whole industry with the beers, you guys all seem like a big fraternity. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean?
No, I can't even tell you how much I love the people
in this
industry.
I don't
like
the word fraternity.
Yeah, and it's like...
But there is a camaraderie.
It's amazing that no one worries about competing against the next guy. They all worry about just everyone doing well and putting their products out, because as a collaboration of microbrewers, you're like almost one big industry.
Sounding weird, it's so easy to fall in love with all these people. You instantly see not only their passions, but you see they're all charitable and community oriented, and people from all different
backgrounds.
We have
to get back with that with the charity with you. So you got some really unique cans of beer. Now, do you have somebody come in and can it for you?
Yes, so we use a mobile canner right now. Right now our brewery's so small that we don't have the space for our own canning line.
Okay.
So, yeah, luckily these guys, they started up their business around the same time we started ours. They have a couple home bases. They've got a home base warehouse down in Indy, and then they've got another one up in Kalamazoo. So they have, the Michigan and the Indiana mobile canning. They bring the canning line on a box truck or a trailer to our place. They pick up the cans in South Bend from a company that prints the sleeves for our artwork on it. So they pick up the cans. So we have little to no storage on our end until after the beer is in cans. So they pull up, hook up to the tank, can the beer, and it takes only a couple hours to get it done. We load it all into coolers and store it and then put it out.
So do you have to cool it right away, or can it be left out room temperature?
We prefer to keep ours cold. We're unfiltered, unpasteurized.
Oh, so you have to refrigerate it.
Yeah, we do tests and store our beer warm. So we're confident that if it was left warm, it is safe.
Yeah.
But it's still at the same time for
peace
of mind.
Steve, you have a fan. We have Mindy from Crown Point.
Okay.
Mindy, are you there? Hi. How you doing?
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Mindy.
Hi. How are you?
Good. You have a question for our guests there?
I was just Yeah, I don't know if you answered this already, but how did you come up with your name, Burnham?
You didn't. I didn't answer it.
No, I did not. So the small house that we actually operate in was my dad's construction company before we made it into a brewery. So it was small offices up front where the tap room was, and then the rest was just lumber storage amongst other tools and stuff. But after my dad passed away in 2011, we were going to sell the building until we got the idea to do the brewery, and that's when we started cleaning it out, remodeling, and squeezed a brewery into this building. So my dad's middle name, my dad's name was Hugh Burnham Murray.
Oh, okay.
Spelled B-U-R-N-H-A-M. So we kind of tweaked that a little bit just to make it a little
cool.
More marketable
for
ourselves.
That's really
great. Now Mindy, nice. are you a beer drinker?
Yes, I am.
And what kind of beers do you like?
You know, I like the dark beers, the heavier, like the darker beers. So found it, that one you were mentioning earlier, the Gluttony.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely, although the alcohol content's pretty high, but
it's
I wouldn't mind trying that sometimes.
It's a sharing beer?
Yeah, it's a sharing beer.
You got someone to share beer with, Mindy?
Yeah, we currently don't have any of that available.
I don't know, maybe my friend or my sister or something.
So do you know where Burnham is out in Michigan City?
No, I don't, actually. I've never been.
Steve, can you give out the address?
Yeah, we are on 718 Fryer Road, and it's F-R-E-Y-E-R. In Michigan City. It's kind of on the industrial east side of town.
I was going to say, are you in a residential area? Because it was a house? Or?
It's more of, it looks like a house, but it's more of an industrial area. There's a couple residences on the road, but most of them are commercial properties over there.
Mindy, you have any farming questions for Steve Howe, since we got Mr. Green Thumb out here?
Farming questions. You know, Not really. I'm not really much of a.
What you need to do though is, and I said it last week. Yeah. When you have some time, go out to Howell Farms. You're from Crown Point. You ever hear the Winfield Elementary?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
it's right down the street from Winfield Elementary. It's
okay.
A house right on the side. It says Howell Farms. You think it's just someone's house, but once you get out of your car. And you go past the little shed, it's like a little micro farm. It has hops. He grows fruits and vegetables.
There's the most adorable furry cows.
That's how I met Steve from Burnham. I was out there talking to Steve Howe about his hops, and he was showing me around and showing me his land and things like that. And I ran into the other Steve, and I asked him if he would like to come on. He said, sure. But it's really you want to take a little half hour, you know, get out, in the middle of country and see some cows and some pigs and some chicken. And then Steve sells the meats.
Yeah, our farm stand is open on Sundays from 11 to 3. Come out, take a tour of the farm. See all the animals out on pasture and, you know, enjoy yourself.
And you know what also, Mindy, he also said that they tap the maple tree. He's going to start tapping for maple in the fall.
We do it in late winter.
Late winter.
We're currently sold out of syrup, but...
I've been asking for syrup for like
you're
weeks
sold out
now.
Before you even made it?
Yeah, pretty much.
So crazy. That's great.
And,
good for you.
And he's starting bees, so he's starting all kinds of stuff. So Mindy, thanks for calling in. And for all you people, 769-9577. Mindy just got a $10 gift card for Burnham Brewery, and she also got a $10 gift card for Chef Nick's Eatery out of Winfield. Does that sound great?
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, Mindy. Bye bye.
No problem. Bye bye.
So why don't you go ahead and tell us real quick on some of these, not real quick, but just tell us about the different brew. You got one that looks like a $14 bill on the front of a beer can with, you would think it was George Washington, but it looks like George Washington after you opened his grave after 200 years.
Right. Well, so the skeleton character that you're speaking of is, he's on every can in a different.
Oh, really?
As a different character, either, you know, dressed up in a different. You know,
oh, I see. Yeah,
but yeah, it's in a way we kind of just nicknamed him Mr. Burnham. It's what our artist has nicknamed him too. Just, you know, so this label has got Mr. Burnham riding a jet ski, or, you know. But so the beer we're talking about, 14 buck Chuck, is kind of, most of our labels are kind of comic book style. This one's gone a little bit different, but it's. Yeah, since we started doing it last summer, it's been our best-selling beer.
So what is 14 Buck Chuck?
It is a Citra American Pale Ale, so all Citra hops. All Citra hops in the boil and dry hop. It's a pale ale that's kind of on the border of IPA. It's not crazy bitter, though. It's got more of late additions of hops to kind of keep it more juicy, like almost like orange juice flavor to it.
And, you know, that's sort of what I like. I like more of a pale ale. I'm not really a strong.
Yeah, this isn't like a bitter punch to the mouth.
That's more of my – I'm a wuss when it comes to beer. I don't like really strong beers.
I'm not really into bitter beers.
Yeah, the longer you boil hops for, the more bitterness you're going to pull from them. So when you're boiling the batch of beer, which most of our beers are boiled for 90 minutes at a time, we are adding the hops in this to the end.
Okay, so. Sharon, why don't we put Steve on? We got Steve. Hello, Steve. Yeah. Hey, Steve. Steve from Hobart. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
You got questions for our guest here?
I do. I had a question for Steve from Howe Farm.
Okay.
Yes, sir. A while ago, my wife told me I could grow hops in our yard, and I haven't done it, but her whole reasoning was that she saw that hop shoots were like the most expensive vegetable you could get.
Sure.
Hop shoots, huh?
And I was just curious if you guys actually, like, sell those or...
Well, I don't sell the shoots. I actually do have some plants for sale starting this week if you wanted to grow some. So in the farm stand this weekend, the Chinook hops will be for sale, the little plants in pots. You can go put them at the house. If you're going to use them for vegetables in the spring when they come up, if you dig, you dig the dirt off a little bit, and there'll be white shoots just underneath the soil, and they're like a soft asparagus.
Really?
Okay.
Now, a lot of people here in America, they want to use the tops once they come out of the ground. Those are kind of woody fibrous. Yeah, you don't want to use those. In Europe, they use the underground, the little white roots that you'll see.
This is new to me.
Okay. And can you get like multiple like gather them multiple times of that or
after? So in the spring is the only time of year, but as the plant matures, you know, year one, you're not really going to have anything. Year two, you'll have a little more. I'll tell you, I mean, you have a 5-year-old plant. You can probably, you know, you can fill a basket with those little underground roots.
Okay.
So, you know, it matures like any other perennial. So they get larger and larger, and a couple years in, have yourself some good meals.
So does that answer your question?
Basically same. Yeah.
Are you going to stop by Howe Farms and buy some hops?
Yeah, it's this weekend in Crown Point, am I right?
Yes, we're open every Sunday, and this just happens to be the weekend that I had some plants that were ready to sell.
Okay. Is there any specific type of hops that is better for this?
Not for that, because you're not looking for, you know, your bittering aspects or your aromatics. You're just looking for more root growth. And actually, the hops that we have for sale this weekend grow really strong. They have a good root ball, so that should be a good one for that.
Okay, right, cool. Steve, we're going to send you out some gift cards to Burnin' Brewery and Chef Nick Cedar's. Get them out next week. Right. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Steve. We got Gary. Gary from Hobart.
Hello? Hi, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good, Gary. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm driving through Couts right now, and I just have to turn on and listen to you. And, you know, a couple of questions on them, on the hop vines. I've seen them. They're really, like, sky high. They really grow high. I mean, is that a beneficial to have them grow way up in the air like that, or does it just make it easier to pick, or
you know,
what does it do?
Steve's a very tall guy.
Well, I mean, they've got them way up.
That's what I was saying, like 20 feet.
Yeah, they're going to grow as high as you let them.
Oh.
I mean, is it more beneficial to the plant to have a lot of air, like a lot of fruit trees are like that, or is it just... It's just they grow that high for some reason.
No, there's numerous benefits. I mean, from, like you said, the air, you know, getting airflow into them is good. But also you're looking for the higher they grow, the more room that they have to produce sidearms and produce those cones that the brewers, you know, use for brewing the beer.
I see. Well, what's dry hopping and wet hopping?
I'm going to let Steve handle that one.
Well, wet hopping is what we do like once a year when the harvest is freshly picked in the fall. So we take the hops basically hours after they're picked and brew a beer with them while they're wet. So it's just like when if you're growing basil or something, you know, any kind of herbs, the wet fresh basil has way different flavors than like dried stuff. So you get a lot different flavor. You get a lot of that like kind of green flavor to it. So
we, and intensity.
Yeah.
Because isn't it? It's, there's a like in spices when it's dried, it's stronger than fresh.
Yep.
Okay.
So yeah, when you're.
Okay. Well then.
Yeah, and then dry hopping is what we do with dry hops after a beer is fermented and done. It's not boiling anymore. The yeast has done its thing. It's beer. We'll add hops straight to the tank, and that's called dry hopping. It helps boost the aroma on like IPAs and pale ales. But you'll see it on other styles too, but just not as frequently.
Okay, and then after everything, do you all your leftovers from this? Do you like use it for composting, or do animals eat it, or what do you do with it?
He makes pretzels out of them. I was eating it.
Oh. Yeah, we have a baker down the road who takes our spent grain and makes soft pretzels that we sell in our tap room, and then we make the pub cheese for it. And then we have a farmer, a local farmer that's pretty close to us that takes some of our spent grain for
feed.
For feed for cows and pigs.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, recyclable everything is, and that's good.
Yeah.
We're trying.
Yep.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Gary, for calling in. We'll be sending out some gift cards.
Okay, I appreciate it. So, thanks a lot.
Excuse my ignorance. You say spent grain. Does that mean that you've already like boiled the hops?
Yep.
So the spent grain part is the mash. The first part of the brew is when we mash grains, usually barley, sometimes wheat and rye and oats in there too. But occasionally the highest percentage of the grain we use is barley. But it's malted barley at that point. But after we've soaked it in hot water and then extracted all the sugars into the boil kettle so then we can boil it and add hops to it. All the grain that's left behind that we've taken most of the good sugars out that we need is drained, dried out a little bit, and then given to farmers.
Well, cool.
We got somebody else on the line. We have an old friend of mine, and Sharon's.
Yeah.
Mr. Dan Clark.
Our friend, Dan.
Dan.
Chef Nick, Sharon Jackson. How's it going, guys?
Good. It's nice hearing your voice.
Yeah, it's great to have you, man. I was just thinking about you.
Yeah, little history. Dan, me and Dan started doing this show just over about a year ago. And now he's out in Chicago. How's things going out there for you?
Things are going very nice. I missed you guys a lot.
Oh, we missed you too.
I was on Facebook a little bit ago and saw that you guys are doing a Chef Nick segment today, so I just wanted to call and catch up. And then that brewery that you guys are talking with, they sound really exciting. Like they're doing some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, you know what you're missing out on is having the free beer.
Oh, totally. You're missing out on
all that food.
I got to do your old job. It's a tough gig.
Well, I want to ask them, you know, it's so hot out today. It's like, what, 95, 98 degrees or something.
Oh, yeah.
What do you guys sell any beer that is good for, you know, like a lager or something? The pale ale you were talking about before sounded like it would be good for, you know, hot weather. So I feel like, you know, a stout or like even very hoppy beers are almost not that appealing in super hot weather like this.
Yeah, and the difference like between like hoppy and then like a bitter IPA can make all the difference. Like if you have a really bitter beer, you know, that's not very good for hot weather. But like some of these like juicier kind of pale ales that aren't like insanely hoppy, they can help. But we've got a coconut pale ale that we do that's really low on the hops. We put a lot of toasted coconut right in the tank. So that's a big
That's the one I was drinking, right?
Yeah, the coconuts.
You missed out.
And then
oh, man, Nick, the coconut, that does sound very good.
We also have a sour, like a sour wheat ale that's only about 3%. So it's kind of like lemonade almost. You know, yeah. It's so tart. It's so refreshing. Definitely one of my favorites. We also do a nice like German Pilsner, but we are currently sold out of that. We'll be seeing
it again. I know last summer they did two of them that were just crushable for a hot day. That Mosaica one.
Oh yeah,
with a hoppy lager or
pills. Yeah,
hoppy pills.
Yeah.
That was nice. And then the Mr. T series.
Oh yeah, so Mr. T cereals will be coming out soon. We brew a beer with tea instead of hops, green tea and black tea, and then we do a different rotating fruit, whatever in season. So it starts out the season with raspberry, and then we'll do a blueberry version, and then usually a peach too. But
it was a beautiful
really
summer
quiet.
Beer.
Yeah,
people. I've never really heard of anyone brewing beer with tea before. That's a very interesting thing to do.
The more and more we do, we're doing the brewers, these microbreweries. It's amazing of the different flavors they got. They're all different too. No one's really got the same as the other guy. It seems like either.
Yeah,
so many are popping up in the region too, which is definitely a unique, cool thing.
Are you enjoying microbreweries out there in Chicagoland?
I am, but you know what? I need to get back out to Northwest Indiana and try some of the stuff that's going on out there. I do miss it. So
you know, I'm going to give you Sharon back so we get your full address, not just Chicago, Illinois. And what we're going to do is send you out a gift card to Burnham Brewery. And one,
okay.
Which you probably have many from Chef Nick's Eatery, but
yes, I need to come visit you, so don't I?
Yeah.
I
just want the beer, don't you? You just want the beer.
I want that pretzel, Nick. I saw a picture of that pretzel. That
it was good.
Oh, yeah. That looks delicious. Is that beer cheese you got over there too?
Yeah, it's a pimento beer cheese. We make with a different beer, whatever's on tap that week when he's making the batch fresh. It usually tends to be like a red ale or something a little more malty we like to use for it.
That looks very good. Well,
Dan?
I'm jealous of you guys.
Oh,
eat all that good food and drink all the good beer.
Yeah, but you're probably in the air conditioning right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I definitely am. It's too much for me out there. It's melting weather.
Dan, thanks for calling in. If you were here, I'd give you a big hug and kiss.
I miss you, man. I miss both you and the lovely Sharon Jack.
I'd totally give you a big hug, too, and pick your brain.
We got to catch up soon. And hey, big congrats too. I'm sure Tom Maloney is not there, but I know he has a new baby boy, and you know that's amazing. And I'm very happy for him as well.
Well, so. you just gave us a secret we didn't even know about. So okay, Dan. So we'll talk to you later. And you know what? Hold on, stay on hold, and Sharon's going to take your full address. Okay, because you never know. You might go to the casino. You might do, and it's Burnham Brewery's right over there. So,
all right, right on. Well, I'm going to come visit you too. So
okay,
I'll see you soon. Good hearing you guys on the air.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Oh, hey, wait, Dan. Somebody else wants to talk to you. Wait.
Oh, who is this?
Okay. All right. She's going to get the address. Dee's going to get on the phone with you and get the address too.
Oh, Dee. Okay,
yeah.
Lovely.
Okay.
Oh,
all right. It's old home.
Still there too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, tell Chris I say hello.
Absolutely. Okay, cool.
Right, bye,
yeah, give me a call.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Remember, folks, 769-9577, 769-9577. We have about maybe 15 minutes left. If you want to give us a call and get a chance to get a gift card from Burnham Brewing or Chef Nick's Eatery, that would be great. 769-9577. Ask us some questions about beer. Gluten-free.
Yeah, well, we actually just put one on tap. It's the second time we've ever did one. First time in 2 years, I think, since we did the last one. Just a small batch of it, just testing it out. It's all 100% sorghum based, so it's gluten reduced since it is made in the same facility as a lot of other gluten products.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't technically call it gluten free, but essentially it is close. But we did it in the style of like a New England juicy IPA kind of style. So it's got a decent amount of like hop flavor to it, not a lot of bitterness, but we also finished it with pineapple juice, so just to kind of help give it a little more fruit kick.
Now, is that got lower amount of alcohol in it, same amount? I mean, does it change it just because it's gluten-free?
It doesn't necessarily change it depending on how much. So you get the more alcohol you'll have in a beer is from the more sugar you start that brew.
Oh, okay.
So you're getting your sugar from your malts. So if we're using sorghum to get our sugar from, then we just use around the same amount to get it right around 6%, same as kind of what we do for that style of beer, for that IPA.
Remember, folks, 769-9577, 769-9577. We got about 15 minutes left. Steve, that orange can right there.
Yeah.
What kind of beer is that?
That is the coconuts, the coconut oatmeal pale ale, so... It's got oats in the grain bill to kind of give it a little more smooth body, mouthfeel to it. And then it's finished with coconut. It's really lightly hopped, so the hops aren't the star in it, but they're there for just a little background bitterness. But then it's finished with toasted coconut, which we add right to the fermenter. Let it sit on that for about a week.
And then you strain it, and you got the, like you said, spent grains.
Yep.
And so that is so that are given out as feed? Or
The coconut's not necessarily.
Okay.
We throw that. Gets thrown out because it's also surrounded with yeast and a lot of other stuff in that. So that's in the tank. The mash and stuff is already out by that point.
Now, how about...
You guys are totally creative. You never fail to... You're always outdoing yourselves with all this different stuff, the different ingredients.
Yeah. You
what gives you these ideas?
Yep.
Well, like a lot of us, we've... we're self-proclaimed chefs. My brother's the actual trained chef, but, you know, food is a big...
part of my inspiration. Mm-hmm. Different food dishes can often inspire beer. It's also just seeing, you know, what's out there and different kind of like cocktails. Anything can really pull, you know, inspiration from beer.
How about the red can? It looks like, it, to me, I would think that would be strawberry soda in there, but what is that?
That's it's called I'll Be the Same, which is a Berliner Weiss style. So it's a kettle soured, so it's not really of the traditional sour, which could take months to sour a beer and of sitting and aging on it. We do it overnight in the kettles, and then we'll boil off the bacteria that makes it sour, and it's, you know, put it right into a can, so then it's stable and safe. It won't continue to get sour like some of the wild beers that would.
So. It's crazy.
Steve, you want to go over there and get another can, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I just find it crazy, though, the amount of science behind it. And listening to guys talk about it, it's blow your mind.
And it's what's crazy is not even the different beers, the different names, the different cans and how they look. Yep. I mean, it's like, you know, when I was a kid, we used to collect beer cans.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, and it was your, you know, traditional Foster Lager, Miller's, whatever, and you would collect them at, how would a kid collect beer cans now?
My son collects caps for that reason.
Oh, really?
There's guys collecting beer cans out there, and we've seen them on eBay and stuff.
You do anything mail order?
We don't do it.
No?
Yeah.
Now, do you have a beer that's like really sweet? I mean, really sweet. Is that just out of the norm?
Well, yeah, traditionally, you know, the yeast eats the sugar. So
right.
That's what makes your alcohol. So that's keeping a lot of sweetness in there means your beer didn't quite ferment out. But there's, like, the gluttony I was talking about earlier that has maple syrup in it and honey and cocoa nibs for chocolate flavor.
Right.
So that one being is the higher alcohol that it is that tends to retain a little more sweetness.
Folks, we're down to, I don't know, about 10, 15 minutes, 769-9577, 769-9577. Give us a call. We'll send you out some gift cards to Burnham Brewery and Chef Nick's Eatery.
So how long does it take you to get really good? Because you're very knowledgeable, obviously, and to really come into your own as a brewer.
We're still learning every day. We go to conferences and different seminars. We're listening.
You guys are all self-taught. Self-taught, right? Yep. Basically?
Essentially, yes. Yeah. I mean, we've learned from each other, and we do, like, with the industry being what it is, everybody being so friendly, we do collaborations a lot. So we'll go and brew a beer at a brewery with somebody else, and then it has both of our names on it. They'll collect, whoever brews that beer collects the profits for it, but it's marketing for both people. But in all, it's a good experience to go see how someone else is brewing on a whole different system. Like, our system is put together like Frankenstein system. So, you know, when people come see how we're doing things, it helps them.
Uh-huh.
Same when we go places too.
It's like when I go to eat in a restaurant, I open up the kitchen doors and I said, I'm here. Yep. Let me see how you do things. Because I'll learn something. I'll find a trick too, and I'll turn it my way.
Nice.
Exactly, yeah. It's like we've seen little tricks that, you know, can shave half hour out of a brew day.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, wouldn't think of until you saw somebody else do it.
Now, when you were walking in, you were talking with Mr. Howell here. You were talking about creating something new or doing something different. What was he talking about? Citrus or no?
I'm curious about what your goals are for, like, the business, your short-term goals, like, for growth or new creations or whatever.
Right now we're pretty much maxed out our building. We are, you know, we're happy where we're at. We're
cool.
Putting out close to the 1,400 barrels a year right now, which for our size of how many tanks we have is we're pushing the system to its max.
You know what, Sharon, I don't see, like, franchises in these microbreweries. I really don't. I see, like, you'll have yours and you're satisfied.
That's part
you
of might the get, charm, though. This,
yeah,
the
they might get bigger, but they don't go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Get to that point,
is there almost, any microbreweries that actually are franchised, Steve?
There's some in the Indy area. I know you see it with a few. But some of them will open up, you know, locations other places.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty typical move. It's not technically a franchise.
Yeah, still same owner.
Yeah, same owners. It's just, hey, we've maxed out the capacity here. We're going to go here as well. Gets you into a new group of people, you know, new neighborhoods.
How many bats you got?
We have 6 7 barrels and 2 15s. So we're on a 7-barrel brew house, so it takes only one batch to fill the 7s. The 15s, we double batch into two batches in a day. We got one brewer that'll come in early, like 5 a.m. and brew. The other guy will be in about 1.
So you guys start that early.
Oh, yeah.
What time did you start today, Mr. Howell?
Today? I was 6.
6?
Yeah. But I was at Burnham last night, so that's my excuse.
It's summertime.
Oh, that's sleeping in.
I had a beer at Burnham last night, so I was slow this morning.
We don't really have AC in the brewery, so summertime,
It's a lot nicer to get started nice and early.
Yeah, yeah. Folks, we're down to the last 10 minutes. 769-9577. 769-9577. Give us a call for a gift card.
You are listening to Let's Eat with Chef Nick. Thanks for listening. Give Chef Nick a call at 219-769-9577 to take part in the conversation or ask a question, and you could win a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield, or you could win a prize from one of his guests. 219-769-9577. That'll get you right to Chef Nick at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Hey, folks, we're back here with Steve from Burden Brewery and Steve Howe from Howe Farms out in, where is that, Leroy? Is that considered Leroy or Crown Point?
Crown Point.
That's considered Crown Point. Really neat place. Both places are very, very neat. We'll get away from the technical things of how we make beer and brewing and all that kind of stuff. Let's get to, you have some social causes? Social causes? Do you do anything?
Oh, yeah, we try to do a give back from our tap room. The last Thursday of every month, we pick a different charitable organization. We've done, we just did Safe Harbor last night, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do like a dollar of every pint sold that night goes to them. We also invite the organization to come set up like different literature, and or if they want to bring somebody out to actually talk about the organization in the tap room that night. We've occasionally paired live music with those events too. We've done Save the Dunes, the Indiana's Save the Dunes Foundation. We've done them. We've done, Lakeshore Paws out of Porter County area.
Right.
So we try to get a different organization in every...
Every Thursday.
Yeah, the last Thursday of every month. So once a month we'll do a different organization.
And you said a dollar goes towards that charitable organization.
A dollar of every pint that night.
So. That's really nice. Yeah. Now, what do you got going on? I know there's a lot of... I mean, do you go to markets, like farmers markets? You got some fairs going on. Tell us what you're going to be doing here in the next few months.
We've done a little bit of farmers markets, but, summertime is busy, especially in Michigan City, which is considered, a beach town. So we have Michigan City's doing its first ever Pride Festival this Saturday, starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow. It goes till 10. We're the only alcohol vendor there, so we'll be there slinging beer. They've got a lot of music events going on. I think a drag show later in the night. Sunday's Lightning Bug Festival in Valparaiso. We'll be serving beer there. There's also Pints in the Park tomorrow in Highland.
That's why you got like seven guys in this thing.
Yeah, so yeah, we got one guy going to Highland tomorrow, while a couple of us are going to Pride Fest, while some people are holding down the fort at the tap room. And then I'm not positive what's coming up later that week, but our event calendar on our website will keep you updated. We usually have 3 or 4 events going every weekend, plus
that's got to keep you busy. How old are you?
I'm 29.
Oh, that's why you can handle all that.
I don't feel
it. So do you do any kind of special promotion at your spot other than fundraiser? Do you have a big beer roast or anything like that?
We do about 5 big parties a year, 4 or 5, I think. We just had our anniversary party last Saturday, which ended up going very well. We had close to 700 attendees, we think. We had 2 food vendors plus ourselves. We did a hog roast that day. We had Arturo's Baked Goods slinging tacos, and we had South Shore Oven Works doing wood-fired pizzas there. We had 21 taps outside, 4 bands. We had a Greyhound rescue out there with a tent, and they had a bunch of adoptable dogs out there. It's just a good time. We do that in the parking lot across the street from us. So we do our anniversaries in June. We have an April party that we do, and that one's another big one. Our next big one coming up is going to be Labor Days. It's September 2nd on the Sunday of Labor Day weekend. So we have 5 bands for that.
It's a lot of work.
We're not doing a hog roast this time, but we're figuring out something for food. So.
You didn't like the hog, huh?
It was fun, but we had to stay up all night to cook it.
Oh, yeah. And then you got to do it right. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was a sous chef down in Florida at the Ramada, we did a hog roast poolside, and I was only like 23 years old, so I was pretty naive and stuff. Mm-hmm. But we didn't score the pig. So what happens if you're roasting a hog whole, you need to score the fat of the pig, because what happens as it cooks, right, it starts to boil, all the fat boils underneath the skin, and it will pop. And if it pops, you got a big fire, and that's what happened. It popped, and the whole pig was on fire on the side of the pool there. So we had to hurry up and put it out, and then we ended up cooking it in the oven. So,
how do you score the pig?
With a knife. You just cut through the fat. So this way, as it's turning, the its fats are coming out little by little, and it helps keep the fire going too, but not all at once. That's it's like throwing a cup of gasoline on the fire.
You
it's
missed
crazy.
A big marketing opportunity. Fire roasted hog. That's a delicacy.
Well, that's what we should have at your place. So give us
I don't know if my insurance agent will be happy.
So give us your website.
So our website's www.burnhambrewing.com. So
Steve, what does your mother say about all your success?
My mother's passed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry about both of that.
Yeah,
geez. No, I mean, that's what we built the brewery for, is in honor of them.
So. Oh, that's really nice. Yeah. Steve Howe, what's your website?
www.howhops.com.
And when they come there on Sundays, what can they get on Sundays?
This week, all of our pork cuts are available, whole chicken, grass-fed beef, vegetables, herbs, hop plants, eggs. Everything's non-GMO, corn-free, soy-free. Online, I keep everything up to date on, you know, what's available each week. And every Sunday from 11 to 3, we're open.
And the way you guys sell it is they come frozen cryovac'd, right?
Yeah, everything's vacuum sealed, frozen, by the cut. You know, so you can take it home and use it at your leisure.
769-9577, 769-9577. Folks, we're coming up to the last 4 minutes of our program today, so give us a call, get a chance to get a gift card from Burnham Brewery. It's like a tongue twister for me. Or Chef Nick's Eatery out of Crown Point, and Burnham Brewery's out of Michigan City. So Steve, how are you gonna someday maybe brew beer too, since you got all those hops right there?
I will go in and brew with these experts. I literally this experts, morning man. I was sitting there talking with Steve at Crown. Uh-huh. and I was just amazed the amount of cleaning that has to be done in a brewery. I could never do it.
It's 80% cleaning.
Yeah. it is constant.
So you guys wear the big waiter boots like I see everywhere else?
Oh, yeah. Knee high, steel toe.
Everyone. Yeah.
And, you know, anti-slip. You know, it's the brewing industry is, you know, as like cool and laid back as it seems, it really has to be considered like a manufacturing plant. We're dealing with huge vats of boiling liquid, not to mention harsh chemicals that, you know, we've seen burns, we've seen, you know, everything.
Well, how warm is the beer when you're done brewing? How hot is it?
So you boil it. So it's full 212, boiling a batch of beer. You add your hops during your boil. You'll pass it through a plate chiller to chill it down to put it into a tank to then add yeast, because the yeast can't survive those high temps. But so you bring it down from boiling to about 70 degrees in line into a tank. But while that's boiling, you know, you have a risk of that pop, which we've seen it boil over before, and that's, you know, you've seen a pot of soup boil over. It's scary when it's 250 gallons.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's on our size when the guys go up much bigger than us, too. It can be really dangerous.
I guess with all the yeast, you know, you got to keep it clean because you know how yeast smells if it's sitting around. It's got that place, you know, it probably smells pretty.
Would smell like bread?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's like good fresh bread.
No, not quite. Not to mention, you know, to produce a consistent beer over and over and over, you got to keep that same process down.
We're down to our last couple minutes. What's coming up new? Something new you can tell us about? Any new products?
Just got through our anniversary party, so I'm kind of just relaxing right now.
How about in the fall? Do you do anything in the fall? Something different? Anything with pumpkins or anything?
Well, we don't do a pumpkin beer right now. We have our tea beer coming out. Raspberry tea will be coming out first.
That sounds good.
Probably closer to the end of July.
Steve's nodding his head. Yeah, he's waiting for it.
Yeah, we do local fruit we try to do as much local ingredients as possible. I go up to Coloma to a raspberry farm and get those as soon as they're fresh picked. Bring them back down pretty much that day and put them in the beer. But after that, we do blueberries from a local farms right down the road from us. Uh-huh. There's actually a blueberry farm on our road. They can't quite supply us what we need for the big batches, but we'll go get some blueberries from them for small batches too. So, yeah. So you see a lot of fruit beers coming out from us here soon.
See, I never heard of fruit beers. And do they really taste like blueberry?
Oh, yeah.
They have those flavors to it.
Oh, yeah. In the 250-gallon batch, we put about 450 pounds of blueberries in. Because blueberry is a little more mild of flavor. Compared to raspberries, I don't have to use nearly as much.
Really? Yeah. So how about seeds? Oh, that all gets filtered out.
Yeah, we don't quite filter, but it'll crash down and get left in the tank when we take the beer out.
Well, we're coming to the end of our show. I want to thank Steve Howe from Howe Farms for joining us today. And Steve from Burnham Brewery out of Michigan City, I want to thank him for joining us today. It was very enlightful, a lot of knowledge. I I want everyone to go out to Crown Point and visit the Howe Farms. It's kind of neat, and drive all the way to Michigan City and try some really unique beers that I've never heard of. I want to wish everyone a great 4th of July. Me and Sharon will be off next week for the 4th of July. Everyone be safe out there. Everyone have fun out there. Stay cool, stay in the pool. And you know what? Don't forget to get that nice cold glass of beer for your day, okay? Enjoy. Thank you.